From Homestand Sports, this is Day Games. Day Games wants to thank our sponsor, HelloFresh. Forget takeout, HelloFresh delivers all the ingredients for delicious, healthy meals anyone can prepare at home in less than 30 minutes. Go to HelloFresh.ca and use promo code ANTIKA50 to get 50% off your first order. HelloFresh is on a mission to bring cooking back into our lives, with real, whole ingredients that are healthier and we can feel good about. They do all the shopping, planning, and deliver step-by-step recipes and their ingredients so we can relax and enjoy all there is to love about cooking. They plan, they shop, you cook. Go to HelloFresh.ca and use ANTIKA50 to get 50% off your first box. Hello and welcome to Day Games. Day Games is a podcast where we speak to people that work in and around professional baseball in an effort to better understand the daily lives of those working in the game that we all love. We'll be asking them what it takes to do their jobs day in and day out, and the different challenges that exist in working in different parts of the baseball world. My name is Mike Son, and I'll be your host. During my day job, I work as an ergonomist, a scientist who studies how people work. In my spare time, I write about how muscle fatigue influences baseball pitchers. My goal is to talk to those who work in baseball, find out how they got into their jobs, and how they solve their everyday problems and excel in their roles. Our guests today are Arlene Anderson and Alfred Mayoni from the original Maple Bat Corporation, or more commonly known as Sam Bat. Sam Bat is one of the most popular maple bats used in the major leagues today, but they're most commonly known as being the weapon of choice for Barry Bonds during his record-setting 73 home run season. I spoke to Arlene and Alfred, the former the company's president and the latter the director of pro production, about their work making bats and how they came to find themselves as modern-day arm dealers in the battle against fastballs. How's everybody doing today?
Really well.
We're well, thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
On Day Games, we try and get an idea as to what a day in the life of somebody working in baseball is like. And I want to just rewind in time here, and after doing a little bit of digging into who's been using the bats, I'm looking at the list of everybody who uses your bats, and there's a lot of pitchers on that list.
Well, it does. That's the funny thing is that we do have that many pitchers, and initially I thought it was rather strange, but when I go to speak to them, it's actually very complimentary that they use it. So, it's amazing how much pitchers know about bats themselves and equipment. So,
Yeah, it is complimentary. I think it also, we're 20 years in business this year, and I think that when they're using something that isn't their their primary forte in play, that they want to have what they consider to be the best. So that's on us.
I can imagine there's probably no better marketing for a pitcher than the crack of that bat when they just got a 420-foot home run hit off of them either.
Yes, that doesn't happen often, but it is nice. And they love to be in the batting cages, pitchers. A lot of them are first ones in there taking hacks. So.
Yeah, I know David Price is a big one for that, according to his social media. So, Arlene, as the president of the original Maple Bat Corporation, what is a day in the life like for you?
Well, that has transitioned. My husband, Jim, and I bought into Sam Bat, so we're also owners in Sam Bat. We did that in 2007 with another partner to give Sam a hand. So by training, I'm a CA or CPA now. So that certainly is part of my role is the financial side. But also I have been the person who has been in charge of ordering the wood for the last 10 years and dealing with all of our wood suppliers and ensuring that goes smoothly and that we get the best product into the hands of our customers.
Now, how much does something like the fluctuation in price of lumber wreak havoc with your doing business?
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
it's a nightmare. But, a lot of the wood is priced in U.S. dollars. So that, of course, has an impact on our cost of goods sold. In terms of all of our items, too, we offer things like batting gloves and other small items, and they're also generally priced in U.S. dollars. So, you know, as that has changed over the last few years, that's made things more costly to operate. But that being said, you know, we are operating in Canada here, and so our payroll and rent and that sort of thing is in Canadian. So the balance is generally in favor of U.S. sales.
Maybe you can give the Blue Jays some tips, because the big talk this off season is, you know, they've got salaries in U.S. dollars, but their income's coming in Canadian. So I'll send them your way to get some pro tips there. One question that I had, you know, totally trying to figure out a way to get it in there is, what's the impact of a bat flip on one of these bats? And is that like the best marketing you can get?
Depends how you look at it. I mean, there are a lot of people that are not impressed with that sort of thing. And then I guess you could say any publicity is good publicity, but it brought a lot of attention to his bat. There's no doubt of that.
Would you like me to be candid?
Yeah, of course.
I was very happy you didn't flip our bat.
You want to have some respect.
I thought
that
was incredibly disrespectful and stupid.
Okay, that's a very, very good perspective to hear on that.
I'm having
whole thing.
A heart attack here. but that was my reaction to that. I thought it was infantile, and I was very pleased that our customers are more professional than that.
That is excellent to hear. I'm I feel like we're breaking news now on the podcast.
There you go.
Yeah. So you've had incredible growth in your business, and from the original, the first bats that were being made to now, when you have so many players that are using them, and you enter these peak production times, how has the the artisanal aspect of the bat making changed over the years?
Well, from our point of view, we essentially make them the same way we always have. We have a little bit different machinery that we use now, but it hasn't changed the process much. It's made it a little more efficient and a little quicker, but we still take the same time that we do on every bat that we always did, to be frank.
And many hands touch the bats. Any one of our staff can kick out a bat at any stage of production.
And quite often do.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And as Alfred says, our process has improved, and we've looked to make it more efficient. But really, the craftsmanship is the same.
It's interesting you mentioned the craftsmanship, because since we've started doing this Day Games podcast, the common theme that keeps coming up is just the incredibly high skill level and an incredible level of ability that everyone involved in baseball seems to have. So what are you looking for when you hire somebody to work for SamBat? Are they carpenters? Do they have woodworking experience? What's something you're looking for there?
Well, Alfred actually has a history degree.
Okay.
Please don't hold that against me.
and our other production manager has a computer science degree. So what we're looking for, obviously you have to have an affinity for woodworking, it's having extremely intelligent professional people that are willing and able to learn.
Yeah, I can imagine it's something that it's unlike anything else you've ever worked with, because not only are you working with wood, you're working with something that's designed to be impacted at very high speeds quite frequently.
Exactly, and then the different specifications that you deal with a myriad of players, it takes some time getting used to it. I mean, once you have the woodworking skills, then there's a whole bunch of other things that come into play.
We have, we start anyone coming in basically sanding, and which turns into sculpting, really, the bat. Then Alfred and several of the others on the floor are still able to hand carve. We do a lot of hand carving of our templates, and there's nothing, I realize that this can be done by computer, but there's nothing like a player saying, I want a little bit taken off here, and where they're running their finger over it, and it's the amount that your finger can feel, basically, because they're very, very specific. We have over 300 plus bat models in all sorts of varying lengths and weights, and you're really talking about a very highly customized product for a pro.
They can likely detect all those really small nuances in your bat. So I imagine having that hand carving aspect is extremely important to your business.
Oh, it is. And that's one of the reasons that I make it down to spring training every year to actually visit the guys. And it really makes a difference when nothing gets lost in translation, when you're actually there speaking with them. You can take out your calipers, you can measure something, you can show them something so that they, when you get back to the shop to actually make it, it takes a lot of the extra variables out of it. So yes, and some people are very, some players are very, very precise about their needs. So it's always good to meet them face to face.
So now, Alfred, as the director of pro production, do you often have the players come into the facility, or is it mostly done at spring training?
Unfortunately, because of the fact that we're outside of the main channels of baseball up here in Ottawa or outside of Ottawa, we don't. So it means I'm on the road making visits on the phone a lot, texting a lot, that sort of thing.
And how do you typically bring in clients? Like, what's the process of you know, somebody's in the minor leagues, they want to get one of your bats. How do they typically find out about it? How do you get into producing those bats? And how much customization happens at what point in their career?
Well, a lot of the work has been done for us. I mean, we've been around so long that there's virtually no player that doesn't know of us. And so generally they find us. It's not as if I have to seek out new customers, to be frank.
Agents reach out to us on a regular basis, and this is a very busy time for that. We've only started to get into minor league contracts. Last year, we signed our first bunch, and that was only about eight of them. for the simple reason that you have to submit statistics to Major League Baseball on every bat produced, and they have to be within regulation. And we don't mess around with anything. We try and give any minor league player exactly the same quality and level as any major league player, but they are difficult. It's a difficult product to produce, and it's not really a sort of a mass quantity thing. We're not in the business of wanting to have every minor league player using our product.
So how many bats a day are you currently making? And this is right now a very busy time, but in during the season, what does that production look like?
Well, there's two chains. In pro production at this time of year, we've been getting orders in since mid-December, generally for spring training. And just on what I've been doing this week, I've been making about 60 finished bats a day. That's on average at this time of year. Now, we also do a great number of retail and custom orders that we do online, so that sort of thing. So there are always a lot of bats being produced.
Yes, we'd be. It really is dependent on the day. We don't have a specific target for the day. It depends on what we're producing. Certain bats take longer than others. A bat is not a bat is not a bat. A custom order, for example, online custom order takes a lot longer than a stock bat for retail purpose. So we're now getting into custom even for places like Taiwan, and so we're talking about the hand element here. That's very high. If we have to open two different cans of paint to do a custom order. That's a time-consuming proposition, and the price reflects that.
Now, mentioning that, you know, there's custom orders coming in from Taiwan, has there been thought given to expanding internationally and pursuing, you know, the Japanese leagues, the Korean leagues, that sort of thing?
Oh, yes. In fact, we're doing Mr. Lin, which is one of the top players in Taiwan right now, uses our bat. and we have a number of Taiwanese pros. We're doing a deal with a company right now in Taiwan, but we are the official bat of Australian baseball. We sell in, have sold and are selling into Korea, Japan, the Netherlands, France, Italy, Mexico. Basically, we've sold bats to wherever the best play.
That's absolutely amazing. And I had asked you about, you know, if when you're trying to hire somebody new, take a step back to before you got into working with Sam Bats. Could you give some insight into your interest in baseball or the path that you took to, you know, getting to a point where you're now running this major international business for the best in the world at what they do?
Are you talking to me?
Of you. I'm absolutely like, I just think it's so amazing.
My knowledge of baseball. He is a baseball coach, and he's an excellent player, and his daughter also is an excellent player. So I'll let you speak to that first, Alfred, and then.
Well, my path here was an interesting one. I taught for a while, and I owned my own business for a number of years. And when I sold my own business, I was renovating my house, and my wife got tired of having me around and said, perhaps you should look for something new. And I happened to know somebody that was working at SandBet at the time. And I thought, well, I'll just go in and see what's going on. And before I knew it, I started out sanding. And within a couple of years, I was doing what I'm doing now. So it was a nice transition for me, certainly. And in terms of a baseball fan, I was a lifelong Expos fan. I'm still waiting for their return, and watch as much baseball as I possibly can.
And how about you, Arlene?
Well, myself. I started by articling at KPMG, became a CA, worked for Canada Post for 8 years, went back and forth to England with my family, have three daughters, worked in high tech, and was coming off the end of high tech, and my other business partner, Paul, appeared one weekend and with a bat, and said, oh, my friend Sam has the offer on the table to buy some people who want to invest in his business, and it's not very good. I think we could do better. And the bat absolutely spoke to me. The logo was incredible. I was just blown away by the whole thing. In terms of baseball, I was not someone who regularly watched baseball. I did love Angels in the Outfield, but I was astonished when I looked down the player names, because I knew the names. And I thought, well, if I know the names and I'm not somebody who is watching this sport on a regular basis, then they are stellar. And that was that really impressed me. In terms of the woodworking side of things, My father and grandfather were both woodworkers, and I grew up in a household, and my father was an engineer. I grew up in a household with wood and metal lathes in the basement. And so for me, that was just part of my DNA. So this was actually something that I'm very, very comfortable with. I'd used a drill press before I was here. And so that was something that most of my accounting friends didn't realize about me. So they were quite shocked when I got involved in all of this. But one of Sam's friends looked at me quite candidly and said, why didn't you tell me you were Dave Heyman's sister? Because, of course, I have a different last name, because then he understood why I was involved in this, because he knew my brother was a woodworker and metal worker. So that's how I got involved in this. And I have also had a passion for business turnaround. During the time I was working at home with my children, I specialized in small business turnaround. And what had precipitated things with Sam needing investors was that he had gotten into an unfortunate deal for distribution with Wilson Sporting Goods in the States, which didn't really go very well. It was sort of like a David and Goliath situation. And so in the year that that deal fell apart, he was really hard pressed. So that was when we came in to give him a hand, and seems to be working well.
I imagine, you know, something like Wilson, such a huge company, you'd lose that kind of hands-on approach to making something such like a fine instrument in this sense. Now, in this time that you've been with the company, what has changed the most in the whole bat making world?
Oh, Sam created a monster. There's so much competition. It's crazy. It's crazy.
We went from initially when Sam was in 97, started with making maple bats, where we were the first for a number of years and the only. Now there are 30, I believe at last count, 35
yes.
licensed bat suppliers to Major League Baseball, and every one of them makes a maple bat. So the competition level is extremely high.
Fierce, absolutely fierce. And that part, you know, Sam transformed MLB in the sense that now 75% of the bats on the field are maple. And he also transformed the wood drying industry. He was one of the first to use a vacuum-therm kiln to dry the wood, which made it whiter, and it was very quick turnaround time and very accurate drying. So it improved the input into the bat, and he was the person who started using that for bats. Now that is the standard in the industry.
Now, do you have a research and development division where you're testing out new processes for making the bats or anything like that?
That's everyone in-house. We find that the best ideas, I have engaged some engineers in the past, but truthfully, the best ideas have come in-house. So much now is available online and, you know, through our own personal research. And there's nothing like, you know, having a problem or an issue and trying to research and solve it. So we're doing our R&D every single week of the year. We've changed our finishes dramatically. We've changed our sandpaper. We changed our process as we go along. So deckling, how materials management, lasering, all of those different things we do in-house here.
And Alfred, what have you noticed? Have there been any changes in your interactions with the pros since when you started to nowadays? Are they asking for anything new or different?
With us, it's still generally maple. I mean, we do some birch bats. We do some European beech as well, some ash. But virtually 95% of my customer base is still interested in a maple product. So it becomes not so much a discussion about the type of wood, but about the profile, small changes that they may want, different weights that they're looking for, that sort of thing.
So for both of you and talking to the people listening to this podcast, what's one aspect of your job that somebody who makes baseball bats would never have expected they'd be dealing with?
Well, when I started, my expectation was not that that I wasn't going to be dealing with pros, but that just dropped in my lap one day. So it's there's nothing like those first few days of getting phone calls from players that you've known or watched all your life and suddenly having a chat with them about what their needs are. So that was a little bit of a shock initially.
In truth, I never dreamed in my entire life that I would be texting back and forth to Barry Bonds.
I can imagine that's totally who could ever imagine they'd be doing that.
It's still when they come through, I look at them and go, really? Okay. I don't know, even know how to describe it. It never gets old.
or midnight calls from Taiwan from Manny Ramirez and that sort of stuff. I mean, it never ends.
Yeah, it's 24/7, which is the other thing. You never know. I have to say, Alfred is very patient. But, you know, a lot of the calls that come in are after the guys are finished in a late night game. And, you know, so you have to be careful. You can't be, either texting or on the phone after you've had a couple glasses of wine on a Friday night. So that's a little interesting.
Arlene, you've painted a very interesting picture of your working relationship. I'm a little bit afraid, but also very interested. I'm actually understanding totally how this company has developed so well.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very complimentary. I do appreciate it.
Now, I could ask you about a million questions just about individual players and all their interests in their bats and that, but I know you're at a really busy time right now, so I'm going to let you go so you can get back to developing bats, making bats, and contributing to Major League Baseball this season. So thank you very much, Arlene and Alfred, for being on Day Games today.
Thank you, Mike.
You're
appreciate it.
Very welcome. We really appreciate the time.
SamBat started out as a novel innovation in baseball, using a different type of wood and producing resounding success at the highest level of the game. Now, they're trying to stay ahead of the field as everyone else tries to play catch-up. While Arlene and Alfred have hit their fair share of home runs at the business level, the interesting part of their story is how far from the game they were at points in their career. A job in baseball doesn't always start from the ground level, but creativity is a trait that carries over, regardless of what field of work you're in. Day Games was brought to you by HelloFresh, delicious, healthy food delivered for you to make in your own kitchen. Use the promo code ANTIKA50 for 50% off your first box, courtesy of your friends here at the Antica Podcast Network and HelloFresh. Day Games is executive produced by me, Dr. Mike Son, and Nick Dyka, with support from Kevin Kennedy and technical production by Natalie Stoberman.